Our scripture reading for today is found in the Song of Solomon. We'll be looking at chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Listen, my beloved, behold, he is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He is peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. The flowers have appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines. And the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come with me. The word of the Lord. Seated. In the lectionary, that this is the lectionary passage for this week. And I kept saying to Carol all week, I'm going to be speaking out of Song of Songs because it's your birthday weekend. And she's like, no, don't stick to the lectionary. This is the lectionary, and it is Carol's birthday weekend. Yes, we're excited about that. It really is a lectionary passage, and it gives you pause when you're hitting something like Song of Songs, or what the full name is, the Solomon Song of Songs. That's the full name of this book, because it doesn't exactly sound like stuff you'd hear in church. After every time that we read the scriptures, I tend to say something like, the word of the Lord. Exactly, right? And then we do that, right? But let me see, I'll show you, this book is weird, I'll give you some examples. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine, the word of the Lord. All right, it's weird, right? Here, I'll give you another one. Here's in chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. How beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves behind a veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats that have descended from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of newly shorn ewes which have come up from their washing. All of which bear twins, and not one of among them has lost their young. The word of the Lord. You can see this is kind of a tough book to preach. And the church has tried to figure out different ways of dealing with this book. In fact, through the largest history of the church, in fact, how I grew up understanding this book is that it was an allegory of Christ's love for his church. If you have read this book, it is not an allegory between Christ's love in his church. At least I hope not, because that is not how I live out my faith. Even the Hebrew rabbis have communicated it's God's love for his people, and that's how we have to understand it, because it couldn't be what it seems to be, and that is a giant epic poem about human love and passion. But I believe that's what this is. I believe that Solomon's Song of Songs, don't you love that? Basically is saying the best song ever written, here it is. Like, I would love that. Like, if I just write a song that says, here is the best song you've ever heard. And so what's it called? That's what it's called. The best song you've ever heard. That's what this book is called. And to communicate, this is the highest song. This is the greatest song of human passion and love. And you are about to hear it. And I'll tell you, I agree with the title. It is a beautiful song of human passion and love. Because human passion and human love is something that God designed. So often, we reduce God to piety. We reduce God to the behaviors that are restrained. We don't assign passion to God. Because God seems, at least how we communicate God, as being anti-passion. But when you read the Song of Songs, you find that we worship a God of deep passion. We find that we worship a God who celebrates human love and longing. This is not a song that is saying, do not arouse passion in your life. That passion is something that we can enjoy as people. The song is not about how to avoid it, but how it lives in one's life. I believe it's one of the gravest misunderstandings that people have, that God does not celebrate passion, but God does. And this book is about two people that are hungry for one another. This song demonstrates that there are two people who are of different worlds and different spaces and different times that are passionately falling in love with one another, and their desire at times is maddening. She even describes at one point that she has a dream, and the dream is that she is running all over the place looking for her lover and runs into the city gates, and the guards think that she's crazy and they apprehend her and just driving her crazy, and she wakes up sweaty in her bed from thinking about this dream. Her passion and her desire is strong. His, as you can see, he is leaping across the mountains like a gazelle. You know, there's always that thing where love sees people through a different lens. My guess is he wasn't leaping across the mountains like a gazelle, but through the eyes of love, that's what it looked like. There are many things I look like to Carol that I do not look like to you. And that is okay, because you look through the eyes of love, and that is great. I love looking like a gazelle leaping over the mountains to her, even though she will tell you that is not how she sees me, but that is okay. But yet you get to this point where this lover is leaping over the mountains, and he gets, and it says that he is peering through the walls. And what the idea is that a family compound would be a few little houses and dwelling places surrounded by a wall. And so you get the idea that the lover is approaching and is dying for just a glance of her. And he's looking through it. It says lattice here. It's actually looking through the windows at her. But they don't translate as windows, because that comes off a little Peeping Tom-ish. But that's exactly what's true. It's nothing creepy about it. He is longing for a glance, and I'll tell you why. One, it's not creepy, because he's obviously made himself known. He's leaping and bounding over mountains all over the place. But then he says to her, "Arise, my love. It's time to come away." And that's what I want to focus in on today. You know, this psalm, this song, is all about passion. But it's about where passion should lie. So often the woman speaks to her friends and says, she's sweating and longing for a lover, and she says, "Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires." In other words, don't get too caught up until love is ready, because love can be dangerous. Love is as strong as death, she says. That's some good poetry. If you're ever wanting to read good poetry, I'm going to say go back and read this. This is epic and passionate. But what she is saying, and what this song is saying, is that good things take time. Passionate things take time. Don't rush into it. Don't go too fast. Have you ever cooked a turkey on Thanksgiving? Yeah. I have cooked turkeys on Thanksgiving, and here's something that I found out about cooking turkeys on Thanksgiving. It takes forever. On a day that you are wanting to eat, it's a day all about eating, and here you plan to eat this thing that takes 13 hours to cook. And you're just like, what? Well, that's a terrible idea. But here's, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. Making the oven hotter does not make the turkey cook faster. Is anybody, raise your hand if you ever tried that, raising the temperature of the oven. Yeah. You raise the temperature. It's like, well, if it's 350 degrees for this, 450 degrees should get it done faster, right? That just makes logical sense. It actually doesn't work. It just burns the bird. And then inside it isn't cooked because good things take time. Or how many of you actually lay out, and that's fine, their baby's fine. How many of you on Thanksgiving, because you're so worried that your guests are starving to death because the bird is taking forever, that you lay out most of the meal on tables that they can snack on? And then once you get to the meal, you're looking at this bird that is barely 90% eaten going, why did I just spend 13 hours making this turkey and everybody's full from apps? We don't like to wait, but waiting takes time. Hunger is better if you allow yourself to stay hungry. And that's what this song is about. We live in this microwave, instantaneous culture, and it's robbed us of the ability to be hungry. And this song calls us to return to waiting, calls us to return to desire, return to being hungry. Sometimes I'm sad for my boys and the kids that are growing up in this culture that are being taught that you don't have to wait, that literally everything is at your fingertips. You can press a button and have what you want right now. And even get frustrated when you're like, it's going to take me a half an hour to get food delivered to my house so I don't have to put on pants. Like, that's crazy. You know, and you're just like, that's nuts. And we live in this culture that is so insane. But you know that waiting makes things better. You ever had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that you've had stuffed in your backpack after a long hike or a day at work? It tastes like a lobster bake. Like, it's amazing. You're like, oh, this is the best peanut butter, smashed peanut butter and jelly sandwich I've ever pulled out of a backpack in my whole life. This is amazing because waiting makes things better. This lover and their beloved have waited a long time to be together. And it's in this moment that the lover reaches out and whispers through the window, "Arise, my love. The winter has gone. The rains are past. The flowers are in bloom. There's turtle doves and there's all kinds of things that he says happening. And that tells me that it's time to come away with you because I have waited so long." As I mentioned, it is my beloved's birthday. And I love seeing her happy. We got married in June. It was awesome. And I have been able to come home with my beloved every single day. And it's the best coming home that I have ever had. And that's why I love her birthday weekend. I love to celebrate her. I love to see her happy because I'm just so grateful that she said yes to me. And so I live out that gratitude. But you know, we haven't known each other just a couple months. We haven't known each other since June. You know, I've known this woman 12 years. Yes, 12 years. You aren't even 12 yet. I've known her longer than you've been alive. And during the course of that time, there were journeys to walk and things to build. There were things that we had to do. We weren't even aware of the work that was being done in us and between us. Time was something that had to happen to create what we had. And when I asked her to marry me, this is the way I asked her to marry me. I really literally said, "Carol, I want you to come home." That's what I said. Everybody go, "Aw." Right. It's beautiful, right? It's really beautiful. But you know what I was saying? I was saying the same thing that this guy is saying right here. I didn't even know that I've been waiting for you this long, but I have. And it is time. And this year, it became time, and she came home with me. I guess you could say my turkey was cooked. This whole sermon was a lead up to that joke. Like, I've been working on that for about 10 minutes. Now, I know that I said to you that this is not a sermon or a book about God and his church. And I still hold to that. But it's definitely a book about God. Because love is God invented. It's God created. It's God breathed. And so is human passion. It's just that God doesn't fit in our speed culture. When we are hungry and want to just go find the first thing to fill, God says, nope, you can be hungry. Let's walk a little farther because it's not time yet. Our journey with God takes time and patience. You walk, you don't run with God. That's why it's called a walk with Christ, not a sprint with Christ. Often when we pray for things because we feel an urgency about these things. But prayer, you know, isn't a way to speed up God. It's to get in sync with God, to join God in God's journey. And faith is that recognition that someday God will be leaping over the mountains and whisper into our window, "Arise, my love." It's time. The waiting is time. The winter is past and the rains are gone because faith is a journey of passion and time. How many of you are glad for prayers that God didn't answer? You know what I'm saying, right? How many of you are glad for prayers that God said, not right now, wait a little bit? And then you look over the course of time and say, I am so glad I didn't get what I thought I wanted then because of the wealth that I have now. That is faith. And that is resting in the goodness of God. It's not anti-passion. In fact, it involves passion. The more time that you get, the more passion that builds. But God's saying, trust me, I will come. And when I come, it'll be the right time and the right thing because I know you and I love you. I want to do a little exercise to end our time together. We've got a couple of minutes. On your tables are thank you cards. And I thought a fun little exercise would be that I'm going to have a song playing that is appropriate to our time together. On this thank you card, I want you to write a thank you note to, let's say maybe it's God, maybe it's to yourself, maybe it's to someone. But I want to thank God for the passion of patience. You might be thanking God for prayers that God did not answer. You may be thanking God for prayers that God did answer, but answered differently. To thank God, the fact that God came at the right time and made you wait. So you truly are thanking God for making you wait for something. So I'm going to say this prayer and just spend time alone with God, and then we'll close with our time together. And we'll see if this works.